Morning, to be able to come together to worship God and to serve Him. And got a card this morning. Carla and Tina Branson are here visiting with us, and we're glad that they are here. And any other that may be visiting, we're glad that you have come to be with us. This morning, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning at verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out into a place where he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he went. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as a land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For they look for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You think about that particular passage, and Abram, as he was known at that time, was called of the Lord to go to another place. And his family had lived however many generations where he lived. And that was their homeland. That was their home. And God told Abram, he says, "You take up everything you have and you go where I will show you." Well, he did that. He did exactly as God said. In other words, he surrendered everything that he knew and everything he had grown up with and his family had for however many generations, and he was willing to yield to the authority of God to do so. And he went. But it says he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he was not just looking for a physical place to live. God was going to give him that, and he promised that, if you read in the book of Genesis. And yet, he still had to go based on faith, not knowing where he was going to end up. The word surrender means to yield the power to another, or to give up possession of something upon compulsion or demand, or to relinquish according to our own will. Well, Abram, as he was known then, was told to do this, but as far as we know, God gave him the ability to say yes or no. But Abram did what God wanted. Abraham willingly surrendered all he was familiar with in life to go and do what God said. Well, what did he surrender? You think about that for a moment. And how many of us would be willing to surrender the same kind of things that Abraham did if we're called of God to do something? Well, Abraham surrendered his own country. Again, in chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." So he willingly gave up what he had all of his life to go where God commanded and God required. God didn't tell him yet where he was going, and it was going to be a good while before he actually arrived there. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abram to be his servant, and he says, "I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to give you a place to live." And he says, "Eventually, through you, all the nations of the earth would be blessed." And that's because through the lineage of Abraham, Christ was going to come. And the homeland that God was going to give them, if you figure it up a little bit, was approximately 1,300 miles away. It was a long journey. Now, they didn't get on the train or something else and go there. They had to walk and then take their animals there. And there was a stop off on the way for a while. And then finally, they were able to go. And even when he was there, he was not considered a citizen of that nation yet until God told him other things later on. But he willingly gave up the place where he were, where he had been, and to go to the place where God commanded. And we find in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. Now, our citizenship, now we look at ourselves and we think, well, okay, we're a citizen of the United States of America at this time, and we are in the physical realm, but in Christ, spiritually, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where it is set because we believe and obey the gospel of Christ. in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John there in writing, 1 John chapter 2 and there in verse 15, 1 John 2 and verse 15, he says there, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we cannot love this world enough that we want to hang on to it and not to do the things God commanded and expects of you and me. So that's why in Philippians 3, it says our citizenship, our true citizenship, is not here upon the earth, but it is in heaven. Because when we obey the gospel of Christ, we're making that commitment to look for that heavenly home for the rest of our life. And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter says there, we are sojourners and pilgrims. And we may live however many years God allows us to live. But ultimately in Christ, we are simply here for a period of time. We are looking forward to that home, which is going to be forever. So Abraham surrendered his country, the place he was familiar with all of his life up until that time. And he went where God commanded. Abraham also surrendered his kinship. Now God told him, leave your homeland and go where I'm going to show you. Turn over for a minute to the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. And this is shortly before the call of Abraham to go where God was going to send him. And in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31. Genesis 11, verse 31, it says, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them to Ur of the Chaldees. And so they were on a journey. They went there, and that's where they lived. That's where Abram grew up, and that's where he lived to maturity. But he surrendered what he had been given. Chapter 12 and verse 1 of Genesis says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of the country, out of your country, and from your kindred, and from your father's house into the land that I will show you." So he says he had to give up his family ties there in the land where he grew up, that he knew all of his life. But the surrender was not complete until he also left his kindred behind. He left them also. That was a great thing to have to do, to give up all your friends and relatives and wherever they had around them. But what about us? And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, Matthew 10 and verse 37, in that particular passage, Matthew 10, verse 37, it says there, "He that loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." We have to be willing, if called upon to do so, to leave everything behind because of our service to God. They were separate from their own family. And Abram, as he was known then, was willing to do that. Now we think about others who also were separated from their families for because of their dedication to God. 1 Kings chapter 21, there's a man by the name of Naboth. He owned a vineyard. And it had gone back all the way to the time when they came into the land of promise and God divided the land from them. And this vineyard had been in Naboth's family for all of those generations. And yet the king, Ahab, and his wife Jezebel wanted that because it was near the palace that they lived in. Naboth would not give it up. He would not sell it. He would not give it up. And so Jezebel devised a way to have him falsely accused and put to death. And so the vineyard would come to the property of the king when that was done. And yet he was willing to give everything up to hold on to what God wanted him to have. We also think of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 31. He brought in many foreign wives among them. And the Bible says it led him astray, led him to idolatry for a time. And so we have to hold on to what God requires of us and be faithful to those things. And Abraham set the example. Abraham also surrendered his own wisdom and his own judgment. Chapter 11, verse 8 again says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called. It was by faith that this was done. God didn't promise all of these things to him and to tell him exactly what was going to happen. He had to go in faith. So he was willing to do that. Sometimes it's necessary for us to surrender the wisdom of this world to the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul contrasts the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of man. And he goes on to talk about how God's wisdom completely confounds the wisdom of man. We don't think and understand on God's level. So sometimes we just have to take by faith that God's going to bless us and be with us. You think of the reason why people sometimes don't respond to the gospel and the call of the gospel. It's because they don't want to understand, or because of their whole ideas of life, they completely reject the idea of being saved by the blood of Christ. We think of a man that wanted to stand upon his own wisdom in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 5. There was a man by the name of Naaman. He was had leprosy, an incurable disease. He was the head a military officer of Syria. And the king, he had in his house a servant girl, an Israelite, and she said, I wish my Lord could go and see the prophet in Israel. And so finally he came to the house of Elisha, the prophet. And he came there expecting some great thing to be done. And Elisha didn't even go out to see him. He sent his servant out. He says, tell Naaman to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be cleansed. Well, that completely confounded Naaman's wisdom. He says, I thought he would come out and wave his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. Well, no, he didn't do that. He says, here's what God requires of you. Go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. God's wisdom completely confounded the wisdom of a man like Naaman. But when he did what God commanded, his flesh became as a child again and completely cleansed. Moses was ordered in the wilderness in Numbers chapter 21 when the people had rebelled against God and God set poisonous snakes among them to bite them, and many of them were bitten and died. And Moses appealed to God, and God said, make a brass serpent and put it upon a pole, and everyone who looks at that, they will be healed. And that's what they did. And God healed them when they looked at that brass serpent upon the pole. It didn't. There's nothing that brass serpent did for them. There was no vaccine or anything that it produced to give them healing. It was God that did it for them. And sometimes we have to understand that human wisdom is often confounded by man's ways. And so Moses, of course, did what God said. Now, you read on through the Old Testament, you'll find in the time of Hezekiah the king, they still had that brass serpent, and they had made an idol out of it. That was never God's intention for them to do that. And so they still were confounded by God's wisdom. And human wisdom tells us, well, what does the lifting up and crucifixion of a Jewish carpenter 2,000 years ago on a Roman cross have to do with us today and our eternal salvation? Well, we know it's everything. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And in that context, he also talks about this brass snake that was brought up in the wilderness. And he says, as that was lifted up in the wilderness and saved the people then, Christ will be lifted up on the cross and give to us eternal life. Human wisdom can't understand how that could be. But it's not our wisdom we have to believe in and then understand. The Israelites had to surrender human wisdom in order to conquer the city of Jericho. You go back and read in Joshua chapter 6 and 7, they came across the Jordan River. The first obstacle they had there was the city of Jericho. It was a powerful city, walled city. There was no way under man's understanding how they could take the city. God told them, told Joshua, he says, you line up, you march around the city one time every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, you march around seven times, the priests will blow the trumpets, and the walls will fall down. That completely confounded man's wisdom. How is that a military strategy? Well, it wasn't, but it was God's wisdom that did it. It's God's power that caused the walls of Jericho to fall down. We think of Abraham, and he surrendered his personal privilege of peace. And in Genesis chapter 13, Abraham now had come to the land, and Lot was there with him, and they were very wealthy. They had many flocks and herds and animals and everything, and there was not enough grazing area for both of them. And so Abraham could have chosen which place to go, but he gave Lot, his nephew, the choice. Well, the Bible says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. The plains of Sodom during that time were green and well-watered, and there was a great grazing place for his animals. And he chose that so that they wouldn't quarrel over the land. And Abram gave him that choice. Abraham did. But it, of course, eventually cost Lot everything except himself and his two daughters. It cost him everything because he made that choice to live among the people. Sometimes walking in the steps of Abraham, if you will, involves surrendering what we want to do for what God would want us to do. Abraham made the right choice. The pastures and everything were not nearly as good where he stayed, but God was with him when he did it. And we have to understand God blesses them just as he will bless us when we're willing to give up what we want to do and how we want to do things to be able to serve God faithfully and zealously and set an example for others. It may cause problems in our life occasionally, but ultimately, if we are faithful to God, he is going to be with us. And that's exactly what God did for Abraham. He was with him all the way. And when Abraham was faithful, now, Abraham wasn't perfect all of the time. He sinned. He fell short of the glory of God, just as we do. But by the grace of God, God took him through it, and he was faithful. Abraham also surrendered his son. This son that God promised that he was going to receive. And we find that he gave him Isaac after 25 years after the blessing was promised. Finally, he had that son that God promised all of these years before. And after several years, God told him, Genesis chapter 22, take your son Isaac, the son of this promise that I have given to you, and take him up to the mountain of Moriah, and there offer him as a sacrifice to me on the altar. And Abraham did that. He took Isaac with him. He even tied him up. He put him on the altar. And he took out the dagger out of his side and was going to kill his son. And God stayed his hand. And he said, now I know that you truly believe me. He was going to do it. The book of Hebrews explains that Abraham believed that if he did that, God would raise him from the dead. That's the kind of faith that he had. And so he surrendered more of his life than anyone probably might ever be called to do, but he was willing to do that. He surrendered more than, for example, the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, where the rich young ruler came to Jesus and says, Lord, what do I need to do to be saved? He says, went through the Ten Commandment law, part of it, and he says, okay, I've done all that since I was a child. What do I need to do still? Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he was a man of great wealth. He had power, he had wealth, he had fame, he had everything, and he was not willing to give those things up for the Lord. sometimes we may be required to give things up, as Abraham did, as the rich young ruler was required to do, but we have to make a decision. Am I going to follow Christ and His will, or am I going to do things my way? Abraham also surrendered his own will to God's will. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he prayed, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup, this suffering and the cross, be taken away from me." But he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And Jesus went through with God's plan because he understood that that was the only plan that God had for salvation for you and me. Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9, as he was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians and have them put to death because of their service to the Lord, when he saw the vision and the light from heaven, and the Lord appeared to him, he says, "Lord, who are you?" He says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And I've often wondered what kind of terror that put in Saul of Tarsus right there to hear those words. And he said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. Jesus says, "Go into the city and there will be told you what you must do." It's always been interesting to me. Jesus did not preach the gospel to Saul of Tarsus. He told him to go in, and one was sent to him to do that. And then he believed and obeyed the gospel. But he was willing to give up whatever was necessary to serve God. And we know that because you go to 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Paul talks about all the times he was beaten and thrown in prison and left for dead, and all of those things that happened to him in his life. But he surrendered those things. And in John chapter 17 and verse 7, John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus prayed there, on the night he was betrayed. He said, "Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." As he was praying for his disciples that were there with him, the apostles, we call them usually, he was praying for us, because he also prayed for those who would believe on him through their word. And that's you and me today. Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." We are sanctified. We are cleansed by the word which God has given to us. Abraham also surrendered his doubts. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, and beginning there at verse 16. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, for this cause it is of faith that may become according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, but also that which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "A father of many nations I have made you," before him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead, and calls the things which are not as though they were. God calls the things that were not already done as if they had already were accomplished fact. That's for you and me. He has given to us that understanding that God is our Lord, our Father, our Creator. He is all of those things. And we have to surrender our life to His will. He believed, if you read on that, it says he believed contrary to hope, in hope. Contrary to the kind of hope man would have, that God would bless him. But he went on anyway in hope, knowing that God was going to bless him. He was not weak in faith, it says in that particular passage. He did not waver through unbelief. Yes, there might have been some doubts in Abraham's mind as he was going along that journey of however long it took him. That, is this really going to happen? Is this really going to be what God has promised? Even though he wavered maybe a little bit occasionally, he did not fall back. He didn't go back where he had been before. The Bible says he was strengthened in faith. God gave him strength. Every day he was faithful. That strength was built up. And the same principle applies to us in James chapter 1. When we're tempted and we overcome, that brings about to us a greater strength, a greater faith as we believe and serve God faithfully. He was fully convinced. Now, it took him a while. Again, sometimes he fell short. He didn't always live up to God, what God wanted him to be. But God knew his heart. He was trying to be faithful. Abraham also surrendered without hesitation. You go back and read in Hebrews chapter 11, also in Genesis chapter 12. And God repeated that blessing to him several times in Genesis 12 and 15 and 17 and then 22. God repeated that blessing to him and later on to Isaac and to Jacob, because it was through their lineage that Christ was going to come. But he rose up early in the morning, according to Genesis chapter 22. Go back to Genesis 22 for a moment. When God repeated the blessing to him in Genesis chapter 22, and look at verse 3. Genesis 22 and verse 3. God repeated the blessing to him. It says in Genesis 22 and verse 1, "So it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham, and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, even Isaac, and get up to the land of Moriah to offer him there as a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I will tell you of." Verse 3. "And Abraham rose early in the morning." And so he went and did what God required. He didn't wait. He didn't procrastinate and worry about it. He did exactly what God required. If there was ever a time for excuses for obeying God, that would have been it. But he didn't hesitate. He went and did what God said. So the full surrender of Abraham was an example to you and me. And we go over to Acts chapter 24. And when Paul confronted the Roman governor Felix about eternal life, he says he was terrified. He knew what Paul was saying was true. And he says, "Go your way, and I'll call you again when I want to hear more about this." As far as we know, Felix never did that. We find also in Acts chapter 26, when Paul was brought before King Agrippa, same principle, he reasoned of those things, of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. And Agrippa said, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." Not quite, but almost. And that was really saying something, because Agrippa was the king, and he didn't want to give up everything that he had. What he was there because of the power of the Romans, who had placed him in that position. And he didn't want to give that up. He says, "Almost you persuade me to be a Christian." Well, Paul's answer there was, "I wish not only you, but everyone here would be just as I am, except for these chains that I'm in, that you would be also servant of God." The question, of course, for you and me, we go back and look at these things, and Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he went. By faith he became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in the land not his own, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." We need to look at the same thing. Well, how do we do that? We have to believe and place our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He made a commitment to God to do the things God required. He fulfilled it by going to the cross, being nailed there, shedding his blood for you and me, and ultimately dying for us. And then on the third day, he was resurrected. We place our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're willing then to repent of the sins we have committed. All of us who are able to reason the difference between right and wrong ultimately become sinners. We rebel against God. But if we're willing to repent, he's willing to forgive. And we also confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And in doing so, we make a commitment for that time, for all the rest of our life, to serve. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus says, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you reject me, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. If we make that commitment, our name is going to be spoken before the God of heaven by our Lord and Savior. And then he says, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he told them to go into all the world, preach the gospel of good news, preach the gospel of the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned. And that's exactly what God wants us to do now, to live it, to serve, to teach others as best we can, to set an example. Our commitment and our faith and our obedience to the Lord will bring us eternal salvation. That is God's promise, his absolute promise to you and me, if we believe and to obey. This morning, if you need to come at the invitation, the Lord is there for us. If you need to come, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing?